On BFM 89.9.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. Welcome to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Today I'm speaking with Tunkudeni Nasifuddin Muzaffa, the founder and CEO of MicroLeap. Since 2019, MicroLeap has dispersed over 420 million ringgit in financing while maintaining what it claims to be the industry's lowest default rate at just 0.36%. So today we're going to be getting into the business model behind this fast-growing fintech, explore the secret sauce to its low risk profile, and of course discuss the vision to become the leading Islamic P2P platform here in ASEAN. Tunkudeni, welcome back to BFM.
Hi Roshan, happy to be here.
So P2P financing platforms all emerged back also around the 2019 time when regulations came into play to fill the financing gap left by traditional banks, right? They don't have the same risk profile or appetite to cater to a lot of businesses out there. So tell us a little bit about why you decided to enter the space.
Okay, sure. So actually, P2P financing first was regulated by Securities Commission in 2016. So there were first five operators, and then in 2019, they opened it up to six. First there were six and opened up to the second batch of five. We were lucky to be one of those batches, the second batch. So reason why I went into P2P financing was I was an ex-banker all my life. I worked in London and KL in major banks. And what you found with major banks is they always looked after listed companies or large SMEs. You know, I was thinking, how about the micro guys? How are they going to survive? Mm. So when I left the banking world, I thought, you know, let's look at microfinancing. So which is why we started first. That's why we call MicroLeap, because we looked at microfinancing. We got our license in 2019, and then we first helped up small financing amounts of up to 50,000 ringgit. You know, we had guys who sold confectionery out of their bedroom with 1,000 ringgit financing. And then we had more kind of larger micro guys looking up to 50,000 ringgit. But now we've kind of evolved into not just micro, but also invoice financing, purchase order financing, which can go up to 1.5 million ringgit.
What would you say is the biggest change from 2019 to today? Is it the mode? Is it the customer profile?
Yeah, definitely the customer profile has definitely changed since we said we want to do invoice financing. So we will always take care of the micro guys. That's where our heart and soul of MicroLeap comes from. But then we thought we want to grow, and we want to grow exponentially. And who else can we help get financing? And using you know, invoices almost as a, not as a guarantee, but as a kind of tool to help secure your financing, it opens you up to larger ticket sizes. So we now have kind of mid-size SMEs coming to us for financing, but also the micro guys are still there.
So why at the start of this, right? So you were a banker, you were working in institutions, you were working in money market funds. What pulled you towards microfinancing?
Yeah, so one of my heroes is Grameen Bank founder, Muhammad Yunus. So I was reading a lot about him, how he started Grameen Bank, helping, you know, micro entrepreneurs, mostly women, and they had a 97% repayment rate. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. These micro guys, you know, repaying in that kind of percentage. So I thought, you know, what's it like in Malaysia? Obviously, we have Amanah Ikhtiar Malaysia, you know, the largest microfinance institution in Malaysia. But, you know, we can still help the micro guys as well. So I thought, you know, the large institutions, the large listed companies, they get help from banks everywhere. These micro guys, they need help as well in Malaysia. And why not tap a different access to credit? Instead of going to banks, you can, you know, me, you, the crowd can become investors or lenders on this platform. So it was kind of a win-win situation for me.
Some people might hear this and say, oh, wow, this, you know, you had a career in banking, you're working in London. What happened that made you give that up to enter the wild, wild world of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I mean, I had to leave my cushy job in banking, you know, leave that paycheck that I had every month. I told my wife I have 1 year before I run out of money, so still, you know, be ready. So I thought I wanted to be an entrepreneur all my life. you know, and use the tools that I learned from banking, bring it into our P2P financing startup. So the tools that I brought is how do you manage risk? How do you evaluate risk? You know, we were different from startups. As I always said, look at risk first, and then we look at revenue. Well, you know, other startups, maybe they look revenue first at all costs, but we want to manage that risk and then look at revenue after that.
And what gave you the confidence to do this, right? Because given, again, corporate gig, monthly salary, this changes the dynamic completely for you and your family. Everyone's always got some semblance of like, oh, I had savings, or I didn't think about it. What's your story here?
So I had, like I said, I had savings for 1 year. So I said to my wife, I said, look, I'm going to give up my banking job. We have 1 year to survive. And if things go, you know, belly up, I can always go back to banking, you know, but I wanted to take that risk and just show, that what I wrote on a piece of paper has mm-hmm. now become into, you know, a profitable company with 42 staff, you know, so I'm very happy I took the leap, so the micro leap.
Not so micro leap anymore.
Yeah.
So 6 years in. It's paid off?
Yeah, so we're doing well. So this is our... so the first 2 years, we were running at a loss. Year three, we became profitable. So we've now been 3 years profitable. And this year, we should close at profit again. So we're now self-sustainable, which, you know, that headache for the first 2 years is gone. You know, it's like, how am I going to pay my staff? You know, they need to eat as well. So thankfully, we're now at a position where, you know, we are at the right place at the right time.
Was profitability simply a function of scale, or did something happen in year three?
I think it was scale. So people started listening to us. We did our first kind of tie up with a government agency, MTDC, Malaysian Technology Development Corporation. And that put us kind of on the map. People like, who is MicroLeap? How come they are working with, you know, with MTDC? that got more government agencies coming to us, out in the press, and that brought the crowd in. So once we get that kind of momentum and visibility, the crowd came in so we could disperse more financing.
We'll talk more about the business itself in just a bit, but with respect to your journey once again, was there anything you underestimated? And now that you look back, you were like, oh yeah, I should have probably expected more or underestimated this. What are some of the key highlights?
I think was a little bit how long it took to get to this stage. it took a while for people to really know who we are. That took a long time. I was, you know, trying to get my name out there. We paid, you know, paid adverts and things like that. But really got us to this stage was kind of organic. Our partnerships with government agencies and that just kind of snowballed into where we are now.
Mm. What do you think people misunderstand or misconceive about the business you're in?
So obviously we are fully online. So when it comes to fully online, people do think it could be, you know, a scam. And of course they have every right to, you know. So what we have done to kind of counter that is that, we now have sales managers up and down the country. So even though we are fully online, you still need that physical person there. So we have sales manager is in Kelantan, Kedah, Perak, Penang, two in Johor, one in Sabah, one in Sarawak. So they can go on the ground and really see that this, we do have a physical presence in these places, and we're not just a off the fly online scam.
Yeah, that's a really important point, right? Because a lot of digital financial products face similar situations about, yes, you're online, but sometimes people need people in order to talk about the financial product and that sort of thing before they part with their money.
Very true.
Again, you've been on this journey since 2019. Looking back at the 6-year journey so far, what have been the most important milestones, but also perhaps even struggles and challenges?
Okay. I think the milestones was, how quickly we are now dispersing the funds. You know, it took us, 4 years to do our first 100 million. And then it took us 10 months to do our second 100 million. And it took us 6 months to do our third 100 million. And then recently it took us only 4 months to disperse our fourth 100 million. So we are definitely growing at a tremendous rate. You know, I'm hiring staff just to keep up the pace. But thankfully, you know, we still have a very healthy net profit margin. Even so, it shows that, you know, my staff are really efficient and good at their job. So we're very happy on that. The challenges, of course, is, you know, defaults for every P2P default rate is very key. Even though under Securities Commission rules, we're not allowed to lend from our own balance sheet, you know, all default rates have to be displayed on each of our regulated platforms. So thankfully we have the lowest default rate in the market. And that comes with, issues on our side because as much as we want to help every single micro enterprise and SMEs, you know, we can't. So we have to kind of juggle the investors or lenders on our platform with the borrowers, and SMEs, on our platform as well. So we have to make sure that, you know, we have a low default rate, but try to help as many MSMEs as possible.
In terms of capital raised to build the business, not to disperse, could you give us a sense for how much has been invested into the business?
Okay, so first of all, of course, you know, when we started, you needed your friends, family, and fools, right? So we raised about 500,000 just to start the company. And then 2021, we raised our first seed funding. It's about 1.25 million ringgit from a corporate investor, a listed company. And now that we are 3 years profitable, we're now looking to raise our Series A.
Nice.
So the Series A is just to go out and to two countries that we're now looking at. One is Indonesia and the other is Philippines. Indonesia is quite an interesting story. So they have 97 P2P lenders out there, of which only seven are
97.
Shah compliant. 97, yeah. Of which only seven are Shah compliant. In Malaysia, the SC has opened up. There are about 18 P2P players, but maybe 13 are operating right now. In Philippines, there's only four for 100 million population. Four P2P players. So we want to go to Indonesia because, you know, it's a huge market. But we want to go to Philippines because it's untapped.
Mm. We'll dive into that in more detail after a few messages. Folks, I've been speaking with Tunku Danny of MicroLeap about his journey from banking to entrepreneurship and the early days of building this platform. After the break, we'll dive into the business model, how they compete in a crowded space, and of course, their credit assessment strategy. I'm Roshan Gunnison. This is Open for Business for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Gunnison and today I'm speaking with Tunku Danny Nasifuddin Muzaffar, CEO of MicroLeap, a Sharia-compliant P2P financing platform for SMEs. Before the break, we were talking about your journey. Now I want to dive into the business itself. P2P has some large players out there, funding societies, CatPay, among others. What is the space you're carving out for yourself, especially as we're seeing digital banks come into the fray as well?
Yeah, I think so we have a bit of a niche play. We were the first to be both Shah compliant and conventional, offering both on our platform. But even the look and feel of what we do is different from the others. The others, normally, they have a alphanumerical number. This is what the business does. We have a more personal touch to it. We have business premise photos of the issuer or the borrower on our platform. We have the face of the borrower. Obviously, we don't say the name or the names of the company, but it gives that kind of human touch to the look and feel of what we do. So when I first started out, I wanted to be different from everyone else. I don't want to be the same. And, you know, even though, you know, there's two bigger players have lots of funding in their balance sheet, we seem to punch above our weight in what we do. So in terms of revenue-wise, we are the fourth in terms of revenue amongst all the P2P players in Malaysia. Net profit-wise, we're the second out of the 14 P2P players that are live right now. So we're definitely punching above our weight and, you know, hopefully we can keep doing that.
How does a platform like yourselves, MicroLeap, make money?
So we charge the MSME borrower a platform fee, and we also charge the investor a platform fee. So that ranges from, for example, you know, if it's 1 month and above, it's like an 8% platform fee for the MSME, and we charge a 2% fee for the lender or investor.
Some other platforms take a spread between the cost of funding, right? So the amount that the business pays versus the amount that the investor gets. Does MicroLeap embark on that as well?
No, we don't take any spread. So when I first started the platform, I wanted to make it simple as possible. You know, we just take a haircut here, from the borrower, haircut from the investor, and that's how we make our fees. And it's all there on the platform.
So entirely fee-based.
No hidden costs or anything. We absorb the Sharia compliant costs because what I found was, you know, to make things Sharia, normally there's a cost involved, right? You know, for example, insurance, takaful is more expensive than your conventional. Sometimes in, you know, financing and investments, the Sharia is more expensive. So what we do is we absorb that Sharia compliant costs. So there's no difference between Sharia and conventional. And we push those guys to do Sharia compliant.
Give us a sense for what it takes to make this Sharia compliant, right? Because a lot of other players are purely conventional. But, you know, you need, I understand that with digital wealth managers, for example, you need an advisory board. Well, how does it work here?
So we have to have a Sharia advisor who is a Securities Commission registered entity, which we have. And they were very good in looking to do how things Sharia, but in a more kind of online tech way. Mm-hmm. So instead of in the old days when you do your so we use commodity murabaha, which is basically a commodity trade on the back of the financing. In the old days, you sign, you fax, you get the fax, you countersign, you fax it back. So I was like, no, we're not doing faxes. So what we have done with our Sharia advisors is a series of tick boxes. So once the commodity trade is done, it pings off to the issuer or the borrower. They read through the certificate and say, yes, I understand, and tick box, and send it back to us and operations, and we do the tick box. So that is instead of using faxes. So the Sharia advisor, you know, helped us and make sure that that was done.
In terms of size and scale, you mentioned that you're second in terms of revenue, or fourth in terms of revenues, second in terms of profitability. What can you tell us about the numbers specifically?
Yeah, I can give you a range. That's what listeners want to hear after all, right?
Yes, so, the numbers and cents.
Yes. So in 2024, we made our revenue of between 5 to 7 million ringgit. With that, it was a 1 to 3 million net profit. This year, 2025, we should close between 10 to 12 million ringgit in revenue with a 4 to 7 million ringgit net profit.
And the key to any P2P platform here is balancing, again, the supply of funds from investors and the demand for financing from businesses. How does MicroLeap navigate this?
Yeah, so what we always do is, one of the main things I learned from banking is fund before you lend, right? So make sure you have your investors on board, chase investors, get investors, and then we can look to disperse those funds. So what I always tell my sales managers, get the investors. You need the investors, then we can disperse more funds. But we also very close with government agencies. So we are very close with Taraju, who has given us 28 million to finance Bumiputra companies. SME Corp right now has given us a total of 70 million to disperse to SMEs through our platform. So they help in terms of the headache of looking for the lenders or investors on our platform. Right now, we do all the credit risk assessment. We do all the collections for them. And we make sure that, you know, it's the right MSMEs that get this financing according to their mandate.
In fact, I believe it was just a few weeks or early September where SME Corp announced a collaboration with you to offer 35 million ringgit, which was a grant convertible financing for SME. So once again, showing that close collaboration with these bodies. But all of this comes back down to, again, the risk, the credit profiling. So tell us a little bit about the traditional and non-traditional data points that you use here for your credit profiling, right? Because that's supposed to be what differentiates P2P financing from the banks.
Yes. So for our micro side, of course, you have your micro entrepreneurs, your pisang goreng sellers, you know, your has a garage on the side of the street. They may not have a credit card or a loan. So it's hard to traditionally credit assess these kind of borrowers. So what we have done is we have worked with a third-party vendor to do so it's basically it's a 20-question psychometric test. So this makci in Kuala Pilah who wants 10,000 ringgit, before she gets the financing, we ask her to do this psychometric testing. And this third-party vendor will then say this makci is either low, medium, high risk in terms of repaying your financing. Mm. So this is fed into our proprietary credit risk algorithm, which takes into account the Experian data that we can get. Even though it's a thin file, there is some Experian data. We put it together in our credit risk algorithm to come out with a low, medium, or high risk. And then we will decide how much financing we can give them and what is the actual risk so that when investors or lenders, the crowd, come in, they can see, okay, this is, you know, XYZ risk. Do I want to put 10 ringgit? Do I want to put 1,000 ringgit? It's up to me.
As I recall, disbursements have been basically doubling every year. So now that you found your pool of investors and you've been able to communicate that, it seems to be expanding. Do you see that the increase in disbursements is people taking a higher level of financing, or that the pool is expanding, or is it a mix of both?
I think the pool is definitely expanding. So as I told my sales managers and in all our kind of digital marketing, is firstly to get investors or lenders on the platform. Because really on the P2P side, you cannot grow unless you have the pool of investors disbursing those funds, right? Mm. So we are always focused on that, investors first, because at the end of the day, people always need money, okay? MSCs will always come to you. It's just finding the right credit that comes to you before you disperse. So the biggest headache is getting the investors, the lenders on our platform.
Mm. We've got to go into the news bulletin. When we come back, we'll talk more about the growth. I think quarter two this year, you saw 139% growth in financing dispersed, but also the expansion plans, right? You want to go to Indonesia and Philippines. We'll dive into that in more detail. Folks, you're listening to Open for Business, and today I've been speaking with Tunku Deni of MicroLeap. I'm Roshan Kanasin. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanasin, and today I'm speaking with Tunku Deni, CEO of MicroLeap, a Sharia-compliant P2P financing platform for businesses. Tunku Deni, you've been on this journey now 6 years. You're expecting to do 10 to 12 million in revenue this year. And every year, it seems like disbursements have been doubling. Give us a sense for what's driving this demand on your end.
For us, it's right now, it's the kind of the high net worth investors that are coming on board with us. Mm. So previously, when it first started, I mean, minimum investment or on our platform is only 10 ringgit. But now we're getting more high net worth guys coming to us and putting in 1,000 ringgit up to 10,000 ringgit per investment. So these guys are kind of quality investors. And like all of them, they like the short-term nature of invoice financing kind of investment notes. So there's always a kind of a fight between the investors. They like it short-term because they want to invest 6 months, get the money back, and then look again. While the MSME borrowers, they want it long-term because then they pay less per month. So trying to find that sweet spot is always the issue for us. Right now, the short-term financing gets snapped up in a matter of hours, while our kind of long-term for us is 24 months, 36 months, 2 years or 3 years. They take maybe 20 days to 30 days to get filled, while your short-term 1.5 million, 6 months, gets snapped up in like 5 hours.
What do you understand about the investors that are coming in, especially as the profile has increased, right? From 10 ringgit to 1,000, 10,000 ringgit. This profile has changed quite a lot. Mm. What have you learned about them?
So, one thing I learned is that 10 ringgit guys make the most noise when they complain, you know? But for us, it's like, it means that people are knowing more about what P2P financing is all about, you know, what SE is trying to do is working. You know, it is at the end of the day an investment tool. You are looking for investments that help MSMEs get the working capital that they really need. So it's slowly becoming more mainstream, but I don't want to call it mainstream because I like it that we're alternative. Alternative is key for me. I like being alternative. You know, I can walk around with a t-shirt with MicroLeap emblazoned, whether it's suit and tie. So alternative is we want to keep it well, for me, alternative, but more people are liking this alternative investment or an alternative financing. So it is a good space to be in.
So demand for the investor pool is growing, but also obviously if you have that money, you got to disperse it as well. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the businesses and the SMEs that are taking up this financing and why.
So the SMEs that are coming to us are, for example, our largest issuer or SME is someone who exports gloves to South Korea and Japan. Oh. And they have regular orders, which we check the invoices on our own. So we independently verify the invoices. And these are true invoices that they want to export gloves to big kind of like your Parkinson's, but they're South Korea, Japan version. So they want gloves, not just medical gloves, but, you know, different types of gloves, face masks, etc. So they are one of the kind of big issuers on our platform. And the reason why they like us, I mean, they could go to any bank right now and get funding. But the reason they like us is the speed that we are able to do. P2P financing, you know, it takes a shorter time to get the funds. Banks normally average 1 to 3 months is before you get the financing. In the P2P world, it can take a matter of hours to, you know, a couple days once it's hosted on the platform.
I mean, the difference here is, of course, with banks, their cost of funds is much, much lower. But that time is a factor here.
Correct.
So that speed of deployment is enough to keep even bankable businesses with you.
Yes, exactly. So we spoke to them and said, you know, you can get from a local bank at, you know, X percent, you know, maybe 6% per annum, but you're coming to us at 1.5% per month, you know. Yeah. So why? And they said definitely the speed. For them, it's a fast growing business. If they don't have the funds to meet the orders, then the big paymaster, the buyer won't come to them anymore because they have to fill those orders really quickly. So they like us because, you know, people like this investment note. They come in really fast and they get funded really, really quickly.
From a geographical perspective here in Malaysia, do you have a spread across the country?
Yeah, so we are according to Securities Commission, we're the first P2P operator to have an issue in every state of Malaysia, to the point where they have a reporting system. And my operations manager said, there's no purr list. Drop down, there's no purr list. So we had to call SC. It's like, we have an issue in purr list. And it's like, oh, you have an issue in purr list? So they had to change the reporting system to have the drop down, to have purr list there. So, we definitely want to look outside of Klang Valley. All our competitors are looking at Klang Valley, you know, which is why we have sales managers up and down the whole breadth of the country.
Before we dive into more focused growth drivers, as you look ahead, what do you see as the next level or next stage for MicroLeap?
Yeah, for us, it's going regional. We want to have the story of a local Malaysian company, you know, going regional and still have the base of operations, you know, in Malaysia. We don't want to go to Singapore like some of the bigger guys. we like Malaysia. It's our home, and we want to, you know. And we're very proud of the fact that we are going to be a local company going outside to Indonesia and Philippines.
Mm. Aside the expansion to Philippines and Indonesia, what else are you looking as key growth drivers for the next 1 to 2 years?
Yeah, for us is kind of having a variety of our investor base. So we're now getting a lot of high net worth guys coming in. We want to target more corporates. We want to target asset managers as well as another, you know, potential investment for them. Right now, we've got the government agencies on board. The next kind of investor base we want to target are the asset managers.
And what's the go-to-market strategy for Indonesia and the Philippines?
For Indonesia, OJK, which is the regulator over there, they don't give out new licenses, so we have to purchase a company. Mm. So, which is why we're raising our Series A at the moment, just to purchase a company in Indonesia, a P2P lender out there. We've had some initial conversations with OJK. They like the fact that it's a strategic investment, you know, Malaysia P2P company buying over an Indonesian P2P company rather than hot China money funds coming to the country. Philippines, we want to target the Mindanao region, the Bangsar Moro region. Out of population of 100 million, 10%, to 11% of the population is are Muslim, so there is a need out there. We did a recce with MDEC to Philippines beginning of the year. And everyone there in Philippines were really excited for us to go there. It's something that, you know, they really want to help the Mindanao region. So they said, you know, as much help as Malaysian child compliant companies can help them, they're very happy to do it.
And with regards to your Series A, is that purely going to be for the acquisition in Indonesia, or are they going to be, are you going to raise more for other things as well?
Yeah, so majority will be for acquisition in Indonesia, but also it'll be used for working capital to expand in Malaysia, expand in Philippines, and of course, you know, accelerate things that we're doing in Indonesia.
On the downside risk perspective here, what are you keeping an eye out for as you expand to Indonesia and Philippines?
Yeah, for us, it's control. So, you know, I want to make sure that we have full control in Indonesia and Philippines. Indonesia and Philippines is a tough market. But if you get it right, it's a very lucrative market. You know, I've been speaking to people who have businesses there. Some have, you know, come back and got burnt. Some say, Danny, do not go to Indonesia, do not go to Philippines, which makes me even want to go even more. So where people are not looking is where I want to be, right? So we're very, very excited to go to Indonesia and Philippines.
How's the Series A raise going?
So we've looked at some VCs, family offices. So VC is quite interesting. Obviously, they want to flip you in 5 years' time. While the family offices are a bit different. They're happy to get dividend. They want to see you grow. So there's less pressure from the family offices. So we're looking at both the VC and family offices. So hopefully in the next, you know, 3 to 6 months, I can come back and tell you a happy story.
Given your existing investors in the cap table right now, is there pressure to facilitate an exit in the next few years, or are you still in a very comfortable position?
Yeah, we're still in a comfortable position. The reason it's comfortable is because we are profitable, so they are getting dividends. Mm. If we were, you know, starving for cash and need to raise every time, then there would be a different picture. Then they would really want to see you flip in the next 5 years. But because we're giving them a steady stream of income, they're happy. They're not, you know, pushing the throttle just yet. But we've given them the carrot stick that Series A is coming, so they're more than happy with us.
Now, as we come to the close in our conversation today, give us a little bit of a picture in terms of where you want to take MicroLeap in the longer term, because one of the things I understand is that you want to make this a leading Islamic P2P platform for the region.
Yes, so obviously we have our regional plans, but also we're now looking to, you know, help kind of alternative sponsorship. So, for example, we sponsor foot golf. Nobody knows what foot golf is. It's basically it is what it sounds like. You're playing golf with the football.
Yes.
You know, there's a par 5 and par 6. So we are the main sponsor for the foot golf league. We sponsor a women's football team in the Selangor division. These are the kind of things we want to help, you know. Now that we're in a position where we can help and sponsor these alternative sports and things, that's what we want to do. As I always say, keep it alternative, and help your fellow Malaysians.
I have a very important question. I've only watched people play foot golf. I didn't know it was available here in Malaysia. Where can I play?
Yeah. There's one. There's five football courses. There's one just outside of Shah Alam. Bukit Utama has one as well. So
really?
I should definitely look it up.
Fantastic. Tengku Danny, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to have done this.
Folks, you've been listening to Open for Business, and today I was speaking with Tengku Danny Nasafuddin Muzaffar, the founder and CEO of MicroLeap, a Sharia-compliant P2P financing platform. We've been discussing his journey, building this profitable Sharia-compliant P2P platform, the strategy behind the growth, and the credit modeling, of course, as well as their regional ambitions. If you missed any part of the conversation, you can catch the podcast when it comes out later today on the BFM website or on the BFM app, which you can download on the Apple App Store or Google Play. I'm Roshan Gunnison. This has been Open for Business on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.